So here's today's without a net. It is, quote, weaponization of ignorance, end quote. I think, well, there's a few things. One of them is that I recently read an article about how those who are both far left and far right, basically radicals of any sort, or shouldn't say radicals, but extremists, using value neutral, extremists of any sort, or let's go even more value neutral, fanatics of any sort, are less likely, that evidence is less likely to change their minds than it is for those who are not. I'll go back to the article. The article is actually people who are far right and far left. But both of those, evidence is less likely to change their minds than somebody else. And it's very interesting. So is this, you know, what's the cause and effect here? Is it that you become a radical because you don't actually care about evidence contrary to your opinion, and so you sort of become more radicalized? Is it a personality question? Or is it that you have discovered some truth, whether it's true in a capital T or not, and so you become more and more devoted to it? You know, we see the same thing with sports fanatics. You know, somebody who's a sports fanatic would still, you know, a Seattle Mariners fanatic would, before the season started, have still held out great hope that this year the Seattle Mariners are going to do it, when their performance on the field shows that that was absurd. And it reminds me of something else I read. I was reading this book on a history of assassinations a few years ago. And one of the things they talked about is how political assassins, such as those who worked for the KGB, CIA, are notoriously unreliable. And they gave a lot of examples of this, of, you know, they would show up to kill somebody, but then as they're on their way, they would go take a bunch of drugs, or they would be on their way to do it, and then they would just have some other issue come up, and they were unstable. And I thought was very interesting. And the analysis in the book was that this makes sense, because fanatics of any sort are generally, I mean, somebody who's really a fanatic is probably, the chances are slightly higher that they are emotionally unstable. And this can be true for an extreme Oakland Raiders fanatic. You know, somebody who goes to, or somebody, a Green Bay Packers or something, somebody who goes to a football game in 0-degree weather without a shirt, that's pretty fanatical, and that's, they might be kind of weird. Okay, but weaponization of ignorance. So first off, people who are fanatical can be oftentimes it's more difficult to sway them. And then also, you know, I think about this with the whole way, you know, sort of queer theory is sweeping the world, and so much of the first world especially, and how postmodernism is not based on physical reality, how that's just crazy. You know, I think about this, how it must have been for the Jews facing Nazi oppression in World War II, and, or pre-World War II especially, but I'm thinking of the 1930s, and how they could have said to people trying to break their windows, people trying to do various terrible things to them, it's like, none of those stereotypes that you're saying are true. And they could have tried to rationalize or reason with them, tried to be rational and just say, no, has anybody actually, have any Jews that you know of ever stolen a baby for sacrifice? You know, that's that myth, but that's not true. That doesn't matter. And I think the same thing with the American Indians saying to, again and again, to the settler society, no, if you kill off the buffalo, this will harm the prairie. And I think about environmentalists saying, look, if you put in a dam, it's going to kill the salmon. And I mean, the real story here, I know the start was weaponization of ignorance, and I think that ignorance is certainly weaponized, and we can think about, I mean, obviously, both, I was going to say Trump supporters, but Trump supporters and dyed-in-the-wool Democrats come to mind for both. You know, how much evidence do we need that the Democrats don't actually support working people? You know, that those days are long over if they were ever here. And, but there's a larger question. The thing I'm really interested in, not even so much weaponization of ignorance as it is that I don't believe that reasoned discourse, I don't believe that most people are in fact amenable to reasoned discourse. And I don't think, I mean, for God's sake, the New York Times has published op-ed pieces about how humans may go extinct soon. They're asking whether that would be a good thing. They will contemplate human extinction before they will contemplate stopping this way of life that is killing the planet and is driving humans extinct. And, you know, for the longest time, you know, one of the jokes I've told at my talks is that they say one sign of intelligence is the ability to recognize pattern. I'm going to lay out a pattern and let's see if we can recognize it in less than 6,000 years. And that is that Iraq was heavily forested. The Near East was heavily forested. North Africa was heavily forested. Greece was heavily forested. The entire Mediterranean was heavily forested. I mean, this culture destroys the land wherever it goes. And I was just talking to someone a couple weeks ago, Paul Ehrlich, about passenger pigeons and how there were so many. And we were talking about all these different species that were so common and then were driven extinct really quickly. How can we not see that pattern? It's that we pretend that we make decisions based on evidence, but that's not true. Basically, I think humans use their, you know, presuming for a moment that humans are sentient, I think whatever sentience that we can ascribe to humans is primarily used not to to address significant problems. It's not to to live well or live wisely. It's mainly used to rationalize however we wanted to act in the first place. That's the primary use of intelligence at this point. And so if people want to, this is really central to all of my work, is that the culture is driven by a death urge, an urge to destroy life. And the primary use of intelligence within this culture is to rationalize that by creating an entire economic system that's based, what is gross national product? It's a measure of how quickly the world is being converted from living beings into dead products. That's all it is. And it's a measure of how fast, you know, years ago, I shared the stage with Ward Churchill, and beforehand, he and I were chatting, and one of the things I said to him was, I can't believe how stupid the Germans were as they were committing the Holocaust to keep very specific, very detailed records of their atrocities. I mean, that's just, when you lose, that's just asking to get hanged at Nuremberg. That's crazy. Why are they so stupid? I mean, as well as, you know, being atrocious to the whole thing. But how can they be so stupid as to keep careful track of it? He just looked at me and said, Derek, what do you think GNP is? And when the New York Times is publishing op-eds about whether it would be good or not for humans to go extinct, you'd think if we were reasonable beings whose intelligence was fueled by information, you would think that we would respond to that by figuring out what we can do and putting all options on the table for future survival of the planet. But that's not what any of us are seeing. What we're seeing is, oh, it's like, also, I just had a discussion with Dar Jamail the other day, and Dar Jamail was saying that the thing that scares him most about the future is that the nature is so complex that we are setting in motion things that we can never understand and can never predict. And I told him that, yes, that's very scary, but that actually is not the scariest thing for me. For me, the scariest thing is that in the face of all of this evidence of the destruction of the world, what is happening is an acceleration of the destruction. And it's the will to destroy, and it's the absolute unwillingness to allow actual evidence or intelligence to enter the discussion that scares me as much as things we don't know. So, yes, ignorance is weaponized. Like Upton Sinclair said, it's hard to make a man understand something when his job depends on him not understanding it. And I would expand that to say it's hard to make people understand something when their way of life depends on them not understanding it.